A couple of weeks ago, I was honored to add my name to the Park City's Pastor's United Statement of Racial Justice and Equality. Now, that's a mouthful, but it represents a good and important statement. And if you want to read the whole statement, you can find it on the Preston Road website under the About tab. The purpose of the statement is that it gives all the pastors, ministers, and preachers in the Park Cities the opportunity to unite and declare our desire and our intention for all the churches in this neighborhood to continue to live out the mandate of Micah 6:8, which says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness or mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" A number of preachers, not just in the Park Cities, but around the entire city of Dallas, will be preaching from this passage this weekend, and I gladly join that effort as I invite you to join me in exploring for a few minutes what it means for us as followers of Christ to do justice as a church in our city. Before we talk a bit about what the Bible says about doing justice and how the Bible defines and describes it, let me first ask you this question. When you hear the word justice, how does your heart respond? Does the word justice have for you a positive or negative emotional charge? For years, the word justice had a negative emotional charge for me. When I heard the word justice in church growing up, it was almost always used in terms of being the opposite of mercy and grace. I'm sure some of you have heard it preached the same way. Justice is when God gives you what you deserve, and because you're a sinner, you deserve condemnation. But mercy is when God doesn't give you what you deserve, when God forgives you instead of punishes you. And grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve at all, your salvation. And in that construction, justice is always the negative word. Justice is bad news. It's something to dread. You don't want God's justice. You want God's mercy. You need God's grace. And yet, throughout the scriptures, God's justice coming into God's world is often celebrated. Take, for example, this passage from Isaiah 42, which Matthew later applies to Jesus in his gospel. Beginning in verse 1, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This passage is an announcement of good news. There is one coming who will establish God's justice on earth. It's not something to dread. It's something to look forward to. It's something to hope for. Justice in Scripture is not always bad news. And the way justice is often defined and used throughout the Old Testament is to broadly say making things right. Justice is to make things right. In some contexts, justice is making things right by giving people what they deserve or what they're due. Justice is making things right by treating people fairly, equitably. There is, in some instances, a negative element to justice. If someone breaks a law or commits a crime, then they deserve to be punished. There are consequences for breaking the law. That's justice. But let the punishment fit the crime. That is also justice. In Leviticus 24, in a longer section about just punishment for a variety of offenses and crimes, God says in verse 22, "You are to have the same law or the same standard of justice for the foreigner and the native born. I am the Lord your God." God says there will be one law, one standard of justice in Israel. Not two different laws, one for the citizen and one for the foreigner. Not two laws, one for the rich and one for the poor. Not two laws, one for those with lighter colored skin and one for those with darker colored skin. No, all people will be treated fairly and equitably under the law. That is justice. But there's more to justice than just punishment. Justice is also described as giving the vulnerable, the disadvantaged, the poor, the care and the protection and the help and the fair treatment they deserve. And why do they deserve to be treated that way? Because they are human beings created in the image of God. And so throughout the scriptures, we also see justice closely associated with coming to the defense of or coming to the aid of the oppressed and the disadvantaged. Proverbs 31 says it this way, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." In Zechariah 7, there are four groups of people listed, and these four groups show up frequently throughout the Old Testament when God is calling his people to do justice. In Zechariah 7, verse 8 through 10, God says, "Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor." The widows, the orphans, the foreigners, the immigrants, the outsiders, or the poor. Why these four groups? Because in the ancient world, these four groups had very little social power or status. They were easy for others to pick on, to push down, to take advantage of. They lacked the resources to defend themselves. They often lacked the resources to fend for themselves. And so they depended on others with more power, with more resources, with more influence to come to their aid, to protect them, to help lift them up. That is justice. Making things right. And there's another word in the Old Testament that often shows up in close proximity to justice, and that word is righteousness. Justice is more of a legal term. It's giving people what they're due or what they deserve. Righteousness is more of a relational term. We can define righteousness as something like living in right relationships with those around us. Righteousness is doing whatever is necessary or required to live in a right relationship with God. Righteousness is also God doing whatever is necessary to live in right relationship with humanity. Righteousness is our doing whatever is necessary or required to live in right relationship with one another, with our neighbors, with our neighborhood, with our city. Righteousness is inherently social. And we demonstrate righteousness by doing justice, by coming to the aid of the oppressed we live in right relationship with our vulnerable neighbors by doing what we can to work with them to make right what has gone wrong in their world. This is central to Job's defense in the middle of the book of Job when he is defending his own righteousness before his friends, when he's trying to explain to them, look, I do not deserve this suffering. This suffering is unjust because I have lived a righteous life. Let's look at some of what he says in Job 29 and pay attention to the social activity he points to as evidence of his righteousness. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist them. The one who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. This is just about as good a description of just righteousness or righteous justice as we can find in the Old Testament. Job gives to those in need. He comes to the aid of the oppressed. But more than that, he says he defangs the oppressors so they can no longer take advantage of the weak. Job is not content to steer the poor away from the payday loan store. He also uses his influence in the city to shut it down and put it out of business. Job is more than a charitable do-gooder. He's also an activist. His justice is righteous, and he is righteously just. And these two words, righteousness and justice, often appear together in the Old Testament. Instead of being two separate terms, they become one phrase that describes the kind of just relationships or the kind of just society that God desires for all of creation. Old Testament scholar Christopher Wright suggests that the English phrase that best captures the essence of this phrase in the original language is social justice, the pursuit of a just society. And now I know for some of you the phrase social justice has more of a negative emotional charge than a positive one, and that is a shame. Despite what you may have heard on your favorite news channel or read in someone's cranky post on Facebook, the phrase social justice is not the language of the enemy. It's not something to be leery of or avoided or rejected. It is rooted deep within the Judeo-Christian tradition. A just society. A society where all people are treated equitably and fairly. A society where those who have been oppressed and taken advantage of are lifted up and empowered to enjoy the freedoms and the opportunities due them as image bearers of God is something God has always called God's people to pursue and work for and embody in their families, in their churches and synagogues, and in their cities. You can trace this idea, this ideal of social justice, a just society, all the way back to Genesis 18, 19, when God says the following about Abraham. God says, for I have chosen him, Abraham, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, by doing social justice, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Abraham's family is to bless the world by pursuing and modeling and putting on display what social justice looks like. It's at the core of their calling. It's central to their job description as the people of God. And of course, they failed to live up to this calling in a myriad of ways. And that's why we read the prophets of old, like Micah, calling them back to their original job description. As children of Abraham through faith in Christ, the pursuit and the embodiment of social justice is also part of our original calling and job description. To be a follower of Christ in the lineage of Abraham is to be called by God to do righteousness and justice, not just privately, but publicly for all to see. And of course, we have failed as Christians to do this in a myriad of ways. But the prophets of old and new keep calling us back to this job description. To be clear, we are called to pursue justice and righteousness in the way of Christ. We are called to embody social justice in a Christ-like way. In the same way that we can't let the extreme right scare us away from the phrase of social justice, we also can't let the extreme left sever social justice from its Judeo-Christian roots. We are called to embody social justice as it's defined and described in Scripture, as it's modeled by Christ. Which means we are motivated by our love for God's world, not by the hate of our enemies. We are motivated by our longing for redemption, not our need for revenge. Justice is not always the opposite of grace and mercy. No, for the people of God, justice often flows out of God's grace and mercy. Listen to the motivation, the reasoning God gives Israel for doing justice in their land in Deuteronomy 24. God says, "Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this." God says, you know what it's like to be an outsider, to be a foreigner, to be a stranger. You know what it's like to be oppressed and exploited. You know what it's like to be a slave. You experienced injustice in Egypt, and I saved you. I redeemed you from all of that. Now, let justice in your land flow out of your experience of my grace and my mercy and my salvation. When God saves us, when God sets us free from slavery to sin, when God redeems us from the power of the Pharaoh of death, God also invites us to join God in putting right what has gone wrong in God's world. But God invites us to do this in the way of Christ, with love, not hate. God calls us to somehow find a way to both lift up the oppressed while also offering the oppressor hope of restoration and transformation rather than consigning them to endless condemnation and cancellation. And this is hard to do. Pursuing social justice in the way of Christ is complicated. It's often frustrating and discouraging. It is slow going, as we are guaranteed to meet resistance, the power of darkness coming against us every step of the way. I am humbled by our friends at New Friends, New Life and City Square and Christ Family Clinic and other organizations like them who show up every day to faithfully do the work. To faithfully do the work of rescuing and empowering the oppressed while also working hard to defang their oppressors. I am inspired and emboldened by our friend Dr. Jerry Taylor and those who work with him in Abilene at the Carl Spain Center for Racial Studies and Spiritual Action, as they work tirelessly and courageously and patiently with preachers like me and congregations like ours to educate us and equip us for the hard and humbling work of racial justice and reconciliation. I am encouraged by so many of you who are living out the Micah 6:8 mandate in your lives, both publicly, making headlines, but also privately and quietly. So many of you are so much better at this than I am. But as we have seen from recent events, both locally and nationally, we still, as followers of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as representatives of God's righteous justice in the world, we still have so much work to do together, especially in the area of racial justice and reconciliation. And so, may we, as people of faith, saved by grace and transformed by the power of God's Spirit at work within us, may we buckle down and prepare to do the hard work. May we grow in both our hunger for and our capacity to do justice. And to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. I'll see you next week.